Hello, everyone. We would like
Okay.
to officially start the meeting.
All right, we are recording. Go ahead.
All right. And Jimmy, would you like to start with roll, please?
Yes. Okay. Commissioner Briceño, which we heard was going to be absent. Commissioner Buck?
I'm here.
Commissioner Dobie?
Here.
Commissioner Faruqi, we heard was going to be absent. Commissioner Kent?
Here.
Commissioner Leach? You're muted.
She needs a voice.
She's muted.
I'm sorry. I'm here, though.
That's okay. I can see you. Commissioner Lee is going to be absent. Commissioner Matsuba?
Here.
Commissioner O'Neill?
Oh, I see her.
She's
muted.
Muted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Commissioner Steinberg?
Present.
And Commissioner Wang?
Present.
Okay. We have a quorum.
Okay, great. All right, first item.
Is opening quote reflection, which was Janie Lee.
Oh.
Who's not here.
Well, we could just take a few minutes of silence, actually, for the people who were victims of the shooting at the high school. And just a few minutes to just wonder and hope that we can get past what is going on in our country right now with the young people and hope that they can find some direction and we just can get past what is happening with them and what's going on in their heads. And we'll just take a few seconds. Also just adding all the prayer and strength for the families that are going through this and have been victims to this. Item.
Yes, item number 3 is monthly summary of commission activities.
And I didn't remember who was that.
It's Commissioner Wang.
Oh, okay.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
I think I switched it because I actually thought I was your reflections, but that's okay. In my brain. So let me look at the monthly summary. So if everybody can turn to page 6, actually. On here, it says that actually the commission staff attended the chief advisory board for the Tustin and Anaheim Police Department. So it actually, I think it'd be a good opportunity for our staff to lead or share. And is there anything that sticks out to you guys? I'm sorry, I didn't prepare for this.
Maybe I can just share some blog highlights. I do want to point out to the commissioners that there is a footnote under the chart regarding our letter I around hate crime victims. You might see that there's a huge jump between what we had last month to this month. We have 37, but I did want to make a note that the total number of hate crime or victims that were supported for the month of November are 9. The reason why there's a huge jump is because I had to do some data fidelity in cleaning up. And sometimes these reports are developed before the month ends. in order for it to actually make it onto the agenda. And we get reports even after that. So I had to tally those reports that came in between that time to make sure that we have an accurate number. So there was one of our commission staff, actually Maureen, had been working collaboratively in supporting and facilitating some dialogues and processing at Cypress College. And that was based on an incident that happened last year between a student and a faculty or a professor. So we've been supporting and facilitating using some restorative justice practices in facilitating dialogue between staff and some of those that were impacted. So that recently wrapped up, and there should be a wrap-up report regarding that at the next meeting. And the last note is we've been having, or I've been having, different conversations with different community-based organizations in Orange County about expanding our hate crime prevention network. And really this is hoping in preparation that we're able to expand our anti-hate work. So there's been a lot of conversations with different entities that serve different communities. We are really excited about some of these folks reconnecting with us, and others who have never worked with us actually being excited about really joining the collaborative. So I'm hoping that we would have more information for the commission around this next month, as we get news next week about the vote of the supervisors based on the commission proposal. So that's our monthly report.
Thank you, Norma.
All right, thanks, Norma. All right, moving on to our next item.
Next is open forum. So if anybody wishes to speak, if you could hit the hand raise icon on the Zoom app or *9 on your phone. And we have one person right now. I will unmute you. Let me get my timer. You will have 3 minutes. Hold on 1 second. Sorry. Okay. It is Felicity Figueroa. Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Figueroa.
Okay. Thank you, and good morning, everyone.
Morning.
As a resident of Irvine, I was really glad to see that you're looking into the despicable banners that have been dropped over our freeways in the city. I hope you have also had the opportunity to listen to the hateful words that were voiced by the perpetrators of these acts on the Twitter video that also surfaced. It's significant that Irvine is one of the most diverse cities in the county, and that our wonderful Mayor Farah Khan is also the first woman of color elected mayor of a major city in all of the United States. Discriminatory remarks have already been directed towards her and towards our Korean Vice Mayor Tammy Kim on a number of occasions. In the city council meetings themselves. Mayor Khan has tried to make Irvine a welcoming city for people of all colors, faiths, sexual orientations, and gender identities, which is what the majority of we as Irvine residents wish for. So thank you so much for addressing this situation. I also wanted to bring up another recent incident of hateful rhetoric in Orange County, this time in the form of an anti-LGBTQ flag that has been flying outside a home in Coto de Casa. Apparently, the homeowner didn't like the fact that a gay couple was about to move in next door to her, so she hoisted the flag to dissuade them. Of course, the many LGBTQ families in the neighborhood have been extremely hurt by this symbol of hate, as they have to drive by it every day on their way to school and are forced to explain to their children why people they've never met reject their very existence or that of their parents. A change.org petition has been started and has already garnered almost 1,000 signatures, but the flag still flies. And while I believe in everyone's First Amendment right to voice their opinion, however noxious it might be, I also feel it is important that this commission speak out publicly against this discriminatory and divisive behavior. No hate in our county. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Felicity. Thank you for always being aware of what's going on in your community, and we appreciate you sharing these things, because I don't know how many of us were aware of all the things that are going on in Irvine right now, but we will be addressing some of these things. I know that we do have already our eye on the hate rhetoric that was spewed at the council meeting, and we'll be further investigating the other incidents.
Actually, we are actually addressing what happened to Mayor Connor as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
We do have one other speaker,
okay.
Pat Davis. Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Davis.
I thought Lucy was going to be here, so I had to join in.
closest
thing to seeing her around. Good morning. It's been a while, and hopefully everybody is staying safe and well, and I appreciate, again, the Zoom aspect of things. But I also wanted to comment both on your statement, but also it seems like things are happening in a more timely nature, which I truly appreciate. Things happen so fast, so whatever vehicles you're creating to continue to put out statements is most appreciated. So keep that up, and however we can support that. The hate incidents, the hate crimes are always so painful to read and see. And indeed, recognizing there are still many who are not stepping forward, and I'm afraid that's going to get worse instead of better with the ways in which folks are being shut down in just about every avenue. Just watching the Board of Supervisors alone is a lesson in just how hateful folks are. And again, in your statement, certainly supporting Mayor Kahn and just the whole issue in Irvine. And I mean, who knew that we had an anti-pride flag, but leave it to someone who hates to design one. I mean, it didn't take long to figure out what the heck she was trying to say. I am curious about the Board of Supervisors proposal and how that's moving forward. I'll be listening with great interest there. Again, I hear the body take credit for work, but I'd like to see them support the work, which would be most useful to those of us on the outside. Let's see, I tried to make some other notes here. Oh, and again, I'm hoping there'll be a chief's report. I continue to read things about conditions in the jails, things like food, simple necessities that have not improved as COVID seems to be in a better place in terms of things we can do. So again, if there's any updates on that, I would be most curious. I think that's it. Anyway, thank you again, and we'll be listening in, and again, appreciate the pace at which you're getting stuff done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pat, and thank you for your support of the commission, and always keeping us aware of what's going on, that we, if there are items that we haven't heard about or have missed, but thank you for your interest and your support of the community.
And that's all for the speakers.
Okay. Our next one.
I do want to allow me to provide an update
on
Otto de Gaza situation, because there is an incident that was reported to us and she's been working on.
Sure. Hi, Nee.
Hi, everyone. I hope you're all doing well. I know it's raining in Irvine. So to give you a quick general update, I've been in conversation and in contact with several residents, including the HOA manager. And so the manager is in discussion with their legal team in terms of what ways they can support the community members in a legal aspect. So there's that update. I've also been in discussion with residents on educational resources and information, so we're trying to set up a time to provide information on what ways to prevent further escalation when hate occurs. What does it mean to seek out support? What different resources look like for each person? Because everyone's going to look for support, but it may not look the same regardless of the situation. So that's a general update, but we've been in contact and in conversation. So if you'd like to learn more about some of the updates on that, I'm more than happy to connect outside of this. And then that should be all in terms of some general updates, very quick on that incident. But thank you, Felicity, for also sharing here as well. I'll pass back to Norma.
And Amy has a question.
So, Nee, thank you for the update and also providing the support for the community. And if I can be helpful in any way, since I do represent that district, please feel free to call upon me. And I'm going to give a nod to Dot as well, but to Commissioner Leach, since we're both representing 5th District, we'd be happy to help and support in any way possible. So let me know.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Commissioner Buck. Appreciate that. All right. Next item.
Commissioner Leach has her hand up.
I'm sorry?
Commissioner Leach has her hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't.
No, that's fine. First, let me say, I agree with Amy. We are here for that purpose. But I am wondering if for the purpose of documenting this recording and everything, can you tell us, can you give the name of the HOA, not the manager necessarily, but which HOA it is so that we know who is being contacted in this situation?
I think we would need to do that separately if Commissioner Leach and Commissioner Buck want to support. We might be able to provide that information, but it would have to be offline.
Okay. It is not part of the record, then?
No, because it's not part of what we report when we put out our annual report for incidents.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification, then.
Okay, anyone else? Sorry about that. My grand dog is a little rambunctious this morning, so you may hear a little energy, so that's why I keep muting. But moving on to the next item.
Yes, item number 4 is Higher Ground Goodwill Project Awardee.
All right. For the newer members of the commission, I don't know if you were aware that I want to say maybe a year and a half ago, we had a former commissioner, Dr. Carrie Reynolds, who came up with the idea of doing a goodwill award, and she presented it to the commission, and we kind of all agreed that that would be a good idea, voted on it, and agreed. And guess what? An ad hoc committee was formed, Dot, for you. And so we accepted applications and reviewed the applications as a group and decided on the candidates that we would like to present the award to. So the Goodwill Award essentially was the commission publicly honoring different groups that have reflected significant progress in improving human relationships and effective communication in the workplace or environment. This includes minimizing or eliminating bias and discrimination around disability, gender, nationality, race, or ethnicity, religion, sexual orientation, age, and financial position. As I said, we received candidates and reviewed the applications as a group, and one of our, well, I will say our initial recipient will be Higher Ground, and we have the founder of Higher Ground here with us today, who is Joe Baldo. I'll just tell you a little bit about Joe and how he came about starting Higher Ground. Joe Baldo had a highly successful 30-year career in corporate communications, but felt called to do something more, something that would help others. After careful deliberation, Joe chose to volunteer at Juvenile Hall in Orange. This changed everything. During his time as a volunteer, the harsh reality these teens faced was immediately clear. He listened as they shared stories of abuse and neglect. He supported and encouraged them and vowed to find help that would prevent them from facing life in that system. Knowing that they desperately needed programs and a support system, he prayed and asked for guidance about how he could be the change agent that would help these teens find purpose and possibility for their lives. In 2012, Joe founded Higher Ground Youth and Family Services, a nonprofit that provides mentoring programs for disadvantaged youth and families in Orange County. Higher Ground is proactively working to keep kids out of juvenile hall by providing a support system and structure within a safe environment to help them make positive life choices. They utilize all sports, music, STEM, nutrition, homework, help, and much more, or homework help and much more. As this profound organization continues to grow, three new initiatives have been launched in the past year. The creation of a family wellness center, which provides counseling to address the overwhelming need for support, youth, and family mental health. A human trafficking prevention program, which the Orange County Department of Education recommends to all junior high and high schools in Orange County. Strategic outreach to foster youth. Joe and Higher Ground serve as a strong and reliable foundation upon which youth and their families can build a healthy and thriving future. Joe is a member of the following organizations: the CSEC, Commercial Sexual Exploitation of Children Steering Committee, Human Trafficking Task Force of OC, and Child Abuse Prevention Council of OC. And if I might just add, when I think of Joe Baldo, I think of someone who makes people know that they matter and that they are important to their community. He makes them know that bullying is not okay and that everyone should be in a safe environment. And he's someone who is just really on fire to make a difference in our community. He connects with people and draws them in to make positive change in our activity in our community. And just to say, if you do get a chance to visit the Higher Ground campus, make that effort, because it's something you've never seen before. And I just want to say that Joe knows all the families that are connected with Higher Ground personally. When he's on campus, the kids run to him and know him by name. He knows the kids by name. He has something to say to each one that relates to what's going on in their life. It's just a beautiful program to see. And with that, I'd like to introduce Joe Baldo.
Thank you, Joanne. And thank you all, good people of the commission. I can tell you that it's very humbling to be in front of you today and to be able to be recognized. I really take no credit for some of the, without sounding dramatic, some of the miraculous things that have happened, but I'll share a couple of things with you and you draw your own conclusion. It definitely could not have been me. I was, you know, the old expression, ignorance is bliss, and I was one of the most blissful people in the world. And I had my own little production company and had wonderful clients, and just life was good. And I had a male midlife crisis, but fortunately for me, it was not the stereotypical male midlife crisis. Mine was one of gratitude. I was so thankful for my wife and my children and my faith and our health and my career, my employees, my clients. Everything I realized that I had in my life was nothing more than a gift, and it wasn't anything that I had earned or deserved. In church one Sunday, the sermon centered around the verse, "To those much has been given, much is expected." And I thought to myself, "Aw, darn." And that obviously just kind of went straight to my heart. And I realized that it was time for me to do something for others. So I went in search of helping someone, whoever I could. And, of course, that's a very difficult thing to do. So I looked at our little parish bulletin and did a few things that were in the bulletin. I worked in a soup kitchen, volunteered in a soup kitchen, a homeless shelter. I read to the blind children at the Blind Children's Center in Tustin and did a few other things. But it was a homeless man, and this goes back to, I want to say 07, that told me that I needed to go to prison. And, of course, I thought that he was a little touched in the head, and I said, "Oh, yeah, sure, just handcuff me and take me to prison." And he said, "No, you dummy blankety-blank. You just need to go to prison to talk to the guys, because I think they would enjoy you." And in my mind, I thought, I was nodding yes, and my mind was saying, oh, there's no way in heck I'm doing that. And 3 weeks later, I realized that maybe that was my call. And so to keep a long story very short, I ended up in juvenile hall because that's where I believed I could make the greatest impact, because the men in prison that I had spoken with were lifers, and as wonderful our conversations would be, they weren't getting out. And all those men had told me that they had done the round robin thing 3, 4, 5, 7, 10 times in juvenile hall until they aged out and then went to prison. And I felt that I might be that agent of change to be able to stop that cycle. Joanne, before I go too far, how much time do I have, or am I already out of time?
Norma or Jamie, how much time is it? 15 minutes.
I was so inspired I did not measure your time, but let's say maybe 5 more minutes.
Okay, we'll make it quick. So I will speak.
Long talker.
Yeah, I'll make it real quick. So I am a long talker. I mean, I'm trying to put in 14 years of experiences in a quick story, but I don't want to bore you. And I know you've got more important things to do. So I was in juvenile hall for over 3 years, and I watched those kids come and go and come and go. And I knew that they needed 10 times the help on the outs. I turned in my badge on a Friday, and I stood by the release door on Monday and welcomed them to freedom. And then I asked them if they wanted bus fare, or if they felt comfortable, I would be happy to drive them back to their apartment complex. I knew the first 75 coming out of there, and they knew me. So there was nothing weird about it. When we got to their apartment, they wanted me to get out, and they wanted to introduce me to their family and friends. And 2 hours later, it wasn't just the one youth that I needed to help, but it was a handful. Sometimes 7 to 10. And so with that, you can understand that within a few months, let's call it 3 or 4 months, I did not have time to stand by the release door. I didn't have time to even go to apartment complexes. I asked all the kids that I was meeting at the time, what's your nearest park? And they would tell me, and I'd say, then pick a day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, pick a time, 3:30, 4 o'clock, whatever, and we'll all meet up. I'll bring some of my friends, you bring all your family and friends, and we'll play whatever sport you want, and I'll bring all the food you can eat. We always played soccer, because these kids were 98% Hispanic. And so we did soccer, and then we did pizza or sub sandwiches. And when we ate, that is where the conversations kicked in, and that is where the mentoring kicked in. And so myself and my buddies and church friends and ball plan associates would talk with these kids, and we would infuse our morals and our values onto them, into the conversation, and it transformed their thinking. I did that for about 2.5 years, and there were 2 police-involved shootings in downtown Anaheim in the summer of 12. And Anaheim called me up about a week or 10 days after the riot. And said, Mr. Baldo, we'd like to meet with you. We understand you're meeting with a large group of kids in one of our parks. And I explained to them that it was not just their park, but it was also in Santa Ana, Placentia, Garden Grove, and Stanton. And in a 3-week discussion, a meeting once a week, after the 3rd week, they told me that they really wanted me to just stay in Anaheim and do it every day there. And they dangled the carrot of a park. They were willing to give me a park so that we could just have everybody come to the park in Anaheim. I worked with a couple of gang unit guys that I had met when I was working out on the streets with the kids. And I asked them to help me identify that neighborhood and that park, of which they did. And it was Lincoln Park in downtown Anaheim. After about 6 to 8 months of having hundreds of kids in the park, Chapman University came by and they asked the same questions that the city did. What are we doing? What are our hoped outcomes? How are we sustainable? And again, long story short, the chancellor wanted to incorporate Higher Ground into their college curriculum. The following semester, we had 19 college students and a sociology professor that came in and kind of changed the face of what Higher Ground was doing, because now it was more than just sports. the chancellor wrote an article that went in the Orange County Register, and the next day Cal State Fullerton called. And within 6 months, they had a class, a higher ground class, in their School of Nursing. From that time on, again, just to expedite this, within the next year, UCI and Cal State Long Beach joined in. Today, we have 34 college professors, 186 college students, 62 nurses from Cal State Fullerton College of Nursing, and 8 marriage and family therapists to work in the building that we just built during COVID. Thank you, COVID. We had to shut down, and it allowed us to expand from 5,000 square feet to 12,500. So as you can tell, I could not have imagined the things that would have happened for me wanting to volunteer 2 hours a week in juvenile hall. Obviously, after a year of being in juvenile hall, it was full-time work for me, and so I sold my company. And 2 years later, by the way, a recession hit, and I would not have been able to sell my company. So the reluctant seller that I was became a huge windfall because I sold at a high point as opposed to a low point. So God is good, and like I said, it's the rest is history, and I take no credit for all of this, but I am sincerely humbled by your wanting to recognize higher ground. So thank you very, very much.
If I just could add one thing, that you have started recently working with human trafficking as well, right?
If you'd like me to address that. So it was one of the two gang unit members in Anaheim. His name is Juan Reveles, who helped me identify Lincoln Park. He took me out to lunch about 4 years ago and said, you know, I'm working on a new thing now. It's not the gang unit. I'm in human trafficking. And I said, what's human trafficking? He not only gave me an education, but he said, Joe, now that we're talking about this, you realize that because of your relationship with these universities, you could do the same thing that you did in the prevention of gangs and drugs and do the same thing with the prevention of human trafficking, come up with a program and light these college students on fire and get them to go out and talk with your kids. This week alone, which, by the way, I called, the first two people I called to make that happen was Daniele Struppa, who's the president of Chapman University, being nervous, I'm forgetting his name, but he's the president of Cal State Fullerton, and it'll come to me in a minute. So with that, they both have daughters, and they introduced me to their top people in criminology, sociology, child psychology. And it was with all of those brainiacs that we refined a magnificent human trafficking prevention program. And we have about 43 college students that are deployed throughout Anaheim and Garden Grove right now in junior highs and high schools doing the presentation, doing the engagement of this program. And of course, we're speaking with several other superintendents. So if any of you on the commission no superintendents or principals, please help me be introduced to them so we can introduce our program and get into those schools and school districts.
Thank you so much. Does anyone have any questions? Yeah, I see Jennifer's hand up.
By the way, his name is Fram Virgi. So there's my brain pause for a minute.
There you go. Jennifer?
Well, I really want to thank Joel Baldo about your contribution and just the entire community, and there really is not enough time for you to share. I would love for you to continue to share, perhaps, you know, next year maybe you can be one of our guest speakers. I'm just throwing it out there so we can hear more about what you've done, but also your plans for the future. And this is actually a really quick ask of mine. I know that you will be receiving a certificate and in the mail, but if everybody's up for it, you know, if we could take a screenshot later, I know everybody else has comments, if we could take a screenshot, like a group photo with you, I would love to have a photo with you. just throwing it out there. Thank you.
I'd be honored to. Absolutely. Sure.
So how about we do that now before we move forward?
Okay.
If you're comfortable turning on your camera, that'd be great. If not, then that's fine. But everybody ready? Hair? Smile? Okay, ready? One, two, three. Yay! I will send that over.
Okay,
I was trying to turn my camera on. I'm sorry.
One more. Get Tanya in there. Tanya?
Over here. My life. Give me 1 second. I have to tape my camera because my children use my computer. I know, every week. It's something with me. Every meeting, there's something.
Okay. Let's try this again.
Beautify.
Yeah. Everybody get ready. Yes, all right. Anybody else? Once, twice. Okay. Smile big. One, two, three. Yay!
Oh, great, great. And Joe, you will be receiving a certificate through the mail, and I'll just read what the certificate says. Certificate of Goodwill awarded to Joe Baldo. I'm sorry. Norma, do you have it pulled up that you can screen share it or no? I don't.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I'm sorry. Certificate of Goodwill awarded to Joe Baldo for making significant progress in improving human relations and effective communication in the workplace environment. And it's signed by myself, the chair, and by Norma, our Human Relations Executive Director. Issued December 9th, 2021. And thank you so much, Joe. Thank you for everything you're doing in our community and the way you're making these kids and families feel and know their importance and know that they can go on to do great things to help the community as well. So thanks so much.
You're welcome. And just so you know, it does work because several of the kids that we started with, those little third graders, fourth graders, fifth graders, those are now our leaders. We have several leaders that have come up through it. And, of course, with our parents program and ESL and anger management, it's just, it has transformed our community. So, and lastly, please, I want all of you to take the time to email me and set up a time, just a 15-minute walkthrough. It is a small slice of heaven. It is such a loving, nurturing, caring environment, and you just need to experience it. It's hard to believe because it is heavenly. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, it's very important that you make an effort to go visit. It is life-changing to see what's going on and what was needed and what Joe has been able to do. Also, on your online, webpage, the Higher Ground webpage has a lot of testimonials on there as well, sharing from family members and telling how their kids have gone through the program and how much they appreciate what has been done. Thank you again, Joe.
Thank you all very much. God bless you. Merry Christmas and all the other celebrations that happen this time of year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye. All right. Our next item, Jamie.
Item 5 is review and reconsider state of emergency under AB 361 and make findings to continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of emergency arising from COVID-19 as required by Government Code subsection 54959E3.
Well, seeing that now with Omicron, with the emergence of that new variant, and Amy could probably speak to it, I think that it's important that we continue to meet virtually and see what, they get a handle on things. But the timing is not right. Norma, is that what I was understanding, that we need to have a meeting to be able to say that we're going to change the meeting?
Similar, yeah. Like last month, Chairwoman, you call a special meeting, so the commission votes on holding the January commission meeting virtually. So, of course, that special meeting, we have to have a quorum. So that way the vote goes through.
So call in, whatever. If you're not available, please call in. So
it would be via Zoom as well. So right. I think it's determining. I think you did put out a date. Right?
Next Thursday. Yes. I mean, I didn't send it out, but I think I sent it to you, Norma.
Yeah, I think in conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that I think that the vote now is to set a special meeting.
No, the vote now is just to continue to meet virtually, which we have to do. So no, we're not voting to set a special meeting.
Okay, but then I set a special meeting, and
yes,
then we will
do this item again, and this will be the only item on the agenda.
Okay.
Yeah, because our December 9th meeting and then our next meeting is January 13th. That's more than 30 days, so we have to have another one in between.
Yes, that. I just wanted to ask the question, because this is on the agenda, if it is on, for instance, the January agenda as well, mm-hmm, is there a reason we have to have a special meeting, or can we just vote that for instance, the next 3 months we will meet on Zoom and then reassess? It has to be a special meeting.
Yeah, the legislation states we have to do it every 30 days.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Fortunately, that would be too much.
That would be too
right?
easy.
Okay. All right. So we will, I plan on hearing less about the special meeting, which we're looking to next Thursday. Just skip so we can miss out on the holidays and just get it done. All right. Next item, Jamie.
We need a motion in a second.
Oh, I'm
vote
sorry.
On this
someone,
item.
So moved. Dorothy O'Neill. Dr. O'Neill moved and Dot second.
Okay. And then I will do the roll call vote. Okay. Commissioner Briseño. Commissioner Buck.
Approve.
Commissioner Dobie?
Yes.
Commissioner Faruqi? Commissioner Kent?
Yes.
Commissioner Leach?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee? Commissioner Matsuba?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Neill?
Yes.
Commissioner Steinberg?
Yes.
And Commissioner Wang?
Yes.
Okay, it is approved. Okay, now, all right, so next item is 6, review, discuss, and approve commission statement under commission letterhead.
And is that Commissioner Wang?
Yes, that's me. And can I share my screen? Or, Norma, do you have the letter that you can share?
You can do it as well, since you're a panelist.
Okay, I will share. So if you look into the packet, it is item 6, page 8. And as our the public, both Felicity and Pat made the comments in reference to what's occurred in Irvine. I am going to first just read the letter, and then we'll discuss it and really how this came about, because I believe it was the last meeting that we mentioned Tammy Kim, our Vice Mayor Tammy Kim's situation, and we created the ad hoc. And I'm going to first read. Orange County Human Relations Commission condemns xenophobia and white supremacist propaganda displayed at public meetings and places. December 9th, 2021. COVID-19 continues to plague our country, and so is the vitriol against our communities of color, particularly Asian Americans. Nobody is immune or safe from being a target of hate. It has become apparent that hate trolls continue to be emboldened and are now using public meetings and spaces to exercise their First Amendment right to bullhorn racism, bigotry, and xenophobia. The city of Irvine has seen several xenophobic incidents and white supremacist banners posted on overpasses. These banners are white supremacy propaganda attacking the Anti-Defamation League, ADL, Council of American Islamic Relations, and among other entities. These banners aim to spread messages of supremacy and hate. This type of propaganda has no place in our streets, communities, or county. According to the 2020 Orange County Hate Crimes Report, Black people continue to experience 1/3 of all targeted hate crimes, even though they account for 2% of the general population in Orange County. Additionally, the Jewish and Hispanic communities accounted for 11% and 8% of all hate crimes, respectively. Hate-motivated attacks, known as hate incidents,
increased by 69%, from which a shocking 1,800 increase in anti-Asian hate incidents were seen from 2019 to 2020. Hate is trying to overtake our communities. In producing this report, we hope to raise awareness about hate with the intent of finding solutions in combating xenophobia and bigotry in across the county. At the sight of this type of hatred and intolerance, the Orange County Human Relations Commission will continue to denounce and condemn all attempts of discriminating against other people. We will continue to support those who are victimized and rally up behind our mission to seek out causes of tensions and conflict, discrimination and intolerance, and attempt to eliminate those causes. If you have been a victim or know someone who has been a victim of hate crimes or hate incident, please call our local law enforcement agencies. Additional ways to report, call our confidential hotline, 714-480-6580. Or report via our online portal at, and then there's a website. So this, we had several drafts, as you can imagine, first with Tammy Kim. But as noted, there is, this right now it's back-to-back incidents after incident. And we have, as a commission, talked about timeliness. So when the reports were coming out, additional reports were coming out, you know, we worked together, and it was a choice. Do we modify the letter? Do we bring up the incident directly to the commission on the day? But as we all know, then another letter would have to wait until January to be reviewed. So we decided that, well, let's just see if we can modify it and then come up with a draft and we can review it today. But it was one of those situations where we are reminded of we have to keep be vigilant. You know, we have to really keep on top of, like, what's happening, what's going on. As commissioners, as staff, as community members, we have to really keep each other accountable and make sure that these things are not ignored, or it seems to be ignored, right? And number two, what do you guys think of this letter? Give your feedback. Thank you.
Sure, Jennifer, I appreciate this letter very, very much. And I think absolutely, as you pointed out, timeliness is so crucial. I am still a proponent for, and this was discussed in an ad hoc committee, if you can believe this, but it was discussed that when things happen like this, in order to stay timely and stay effective, that in this case, Joanne and Norma, under their signatures in their capacities with the commission, and be allowed to go ahead and send out the letters, because we don't always, as commissioners, know about these things and may learn a month later. And we've lost then the timeliness and the risk of stirring up something again. And so, you know, I still would love for the commission to consider, in cases like this, where you have such a strong statement that you've made, and a necessary one, that the commission, you know, give permission to, in our case now, currently Joanne and Norma, to send out these letters and get them before the public and the media and whomever else that this goes to.
I feel a Renee coming on.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I understand your point, Commissioner Leach, and we've talked about this for some time. Rabbi Rick can tell you this conversation has been had for, I think, a couple of years now. And I will tell you that we were looking to address it in some bylaw changes. And when we were very close to submitting those bylaw changes to the Board of Supervisors for approval, and then COVID hit and we redirected. And I can tell you that we've honestly been dedicating our time to this HRC expansion. ASR that's going to the board on Tuesday. So we really have put those bylaws on the back burner. But you do have the ability to do a statement through the process that you've elected to do today. And I understand the time constraint concerns, and you can also call a special meeting at any time through the chair if it is time sensitive, if you need to get something out right away. We have two avenues, obviously. We have the commission-approved letterhead, and then we have the board-approved commission, or the board-approved statement letterhead. So in this case, today you would be voting to put it on commission letterhead, and it would be released with a statement that basically says it hasn't been approved at the county level. It's a statement from the commission directly. So in order to do something like you're suggesting, it would require a bylaw change. And of course, those bylaw changes, though we can submit anything we'd like, they have to be approved by county council and the county board of supervisors.
Well, and another important point that you said is that we could call a special meeting and, you know, in order to expedite getting our statement out, we would just, you know, call a special meeting. Because it is hard when we're locked into waiting until the whole next, and then we have to, can't vote on it that time, can be brought, you know, the process. So I understand, you know, your concern about it.
With the frequency of the things that are happening, I don't want to say we'd have a special meeting every other day. I don't want to hyperbole here.
Yeah,
but sure. The frequency of it just since this summer has been a little bit mind-boggling. And, it would be wonderful to be able to expedite this, obviously, through the bylaws. And Renee, I'm sure you and Rabbi Rick feel exactly that same way. But, you know, if that's what it takes, a special meeting or whatever, I just, the time that it took for Jennifer and the committee to come up with this letter, to express the feeling so beautifully and so poignantly, but with the frequency of the actions that are going on, I just, again, would just like to register that I wish there were some way to expedite this in such a way that we're not breaking any rules, but we're getting our message out there and we're being true to our mission.
Todd, if I could just add, you're speaking to my frustration over the last 5 years, probably, as Renee can tell you, who's done a great job trying to shepherd it, and it's just been maddening because in some ways, we need to be a rapid response team, and we're just not the way it functions now. And then COVID certainly got in the way of everything we were trying to do. I don't think it's off of the agenda necessarily. It just has been delayed, if I'm not mistaken, Renee. I think, well, I love this commission, but that is an area in which we absolutely need to fix it to get us to the next level. And hopefully after this new contract is approved, that will be maybe the next thing we take up, because the Human Relations Commission is just slightly different than every other commission that exists in its formation. So we'll fight the good fight still.
Yeah. Dr. Dorothy, you have your hand up.
Okay. I have a patient I have to go see. I just got a text, but I'd like to say goodbye. But I do want to say Happy Hanukkah and a Merry Christmas to everyone, but especially to my Jewish friends here on the screen. A Happy Hanukkah. I hope you're having a wonderful time with your family. And I will see you all. I think our next meeting will be in January. Is that correct?
Well, we'll have a special meeting next week.
Okay, I'll be there.
Okay, a quick one.
All right, yeah,
okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right,
thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right.
Happy Hanukkah. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. anyone else? But Jennifer, that was great. No, thank you so much for working on that. And, you know, it's just so important that we continue to respond and make statements.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. If we could do it in a more timely fashion, I think it would be more impactful. But it is still important that we make a statement and that the commission is heard. So,
really, one of my concerns was that I really wanted to address what happened to the mayor in a separate statement. Mm-hmm. That was really what I wanted to do because I felt what happened with Vice Mayor Tammy Kim, yes, they're both hate incidents, but how it occurred, when it occurred, they're different.
Yeah.
Right? One was in a public meeting, one is a public space, especially the fact that it was on the freeway and, you know, Irvine is considered one of the safest places. Irvine is considered a place where people can walk and people can, you know, just go about their business in the evening, whatever time. You know, I have plenty of older adults who, as you guys know, they stop going out for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And for these incidents to come back again, it's you know, it's causing trauma to them again. And it's scaring them again because people are physically going out there. If you can't just trade something over freeway, you know, like that. They are spending time there. People, I'm sure, are rethinking, should I go out again? Should we be in public?
Yeah.
And that's really what was heartbreaking for me is the impact of the letter. I truly believe in words. Just as they use words, we can use our words too. And I felt we needed a statement for what occurred in City Hall and what occurred on our freeways in a public space. And my family, we've been in Irvine for more than 3 decades. And I did grow up with racism. I did grow up, you know, it's not all sunshine and daisies and stuff. However, the intensity, the severity of these situations, people feel emboldened. And I just keep wondering, okay, what's next? And that was sort of the sort of comforting moment was like, well, I know we're going to come out with another statement, you know, and I know the commissioners that we have right now, for the lack of a better term, like our deck is stacked. And I truly believe, like, if we really work together, we can start moving this commission so we can be timely. And, you know, one thing is that I want to be accountable to the public. I want to be accountable to the community. People are coming to the commission meeting and they're speaking. And I want them to know that we're listening. We hear them. So thank you.
So important to what we're tasked to do. It's very important. But thank you so much for working
sure.
on it.
Chair, may I share a few thoughts on this?
Yes, please.
So, you know, as obviously a commissioner of this group, but also as the chief of police for Irvine, you know, it's been a real challenge for us to navigate all this. You know, it's absolutely horrible circumstances to see this hate speech out there and hate actions out there. Yes, it's true. It might not necessarily rise to the level of a crime, but the fact that, you know, there's such language that's being spoken so openly, you know, whether it's in, like Jennifer was talking about, whether it's in a council setting that is broadcasted to, you know, thousands of people, or a banner that's hung over a freeway that could be potentially viewed by thousands of cars that drive by until the banners are removed. You know, I do want to make it very, very clear that, you know, as a city, we don't tolerate any sort of hate, and it's very important for us as a police department and as a profession, and I'll talk a little bit more about this when it comes to my segment later on, but to make sure that the residents and the community feels safe, especially those that are impacted by these hateful acts and speech. You know, we've been working collaboratively with different groups, especially the ADL, to make sure that we continue our outreach to make sure our faith-based groups and our community as a whole feel safe living in the city, walking, you know, driving around the city, walking in the city. We can't control the actions of who comes and kind of ideology they bring with them and how they just display that. But anything and everything that we can do to work with our law enforcement partners around the county, around the state, especially on a national level, to stay connected to one another, but more importantly, stay connected to the community, you know, that's how you combat this. That's how you address this, is trying to be proactive instead of being reactive to some of these incidents as they come along. So appreciate the time. I just wanted to share some of those thoughts.
Thank you, Chief.
May I ask one question?
Sure.
And Jennifer or Chief Kent, I perhaps one or both of you can answer this. How long was the banner over on the highway? And if that is a public overpass, should that not have come down as soon as someone saw it? I'm asking out of complete ignorance.
No, certainly. I could definitely help answer that. The banners were hung on the chain link fence portion of the overpass. That technically is Caltrans, and it's monitored by California Highway Patrol. Both incidents were handled by the California Highway Patrol, where they did respond and remove the banners. There is a vehicle code that actually authorizes them to remove those banners. But it doesn't matter. You know, yes, it's CHP's jurisdiction, but it's within the city limits of the Irvine Police Department. So they might be the ones that respond and take down those banners, but it's us that wants to be in the forefront in ensuring that we're communicating with the community and that they're aware, that we're aware of what's happening. I know it was touched on just a little bit, but this is a trend that's definitely happening in the Southern California area. We know Norwalk was hit with a similar sign. City of Beverly Hills were several residents were received flyers, leaflets, if you want to call it, containing similar hateful language. So all of us are working together to be mindful of who these groups are, what their ideology is, how far they take things, and make sure that we're, again, be proactive in addressing these issues.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Chief. Anyone else? So now do we need to vote on? Okay.
Yes.
We need a motion and then.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody like to move that we accept the Rabbi Rick?
So moved.
Okay. And a second?
Second.
Okay. I will call for the roll. Commissioner Briceño, Commissioner Buck. You're muted.
Sorry. Yes.
Okay. Commissioner Dobie?
Yes.
Commissioner Faruqi, Commissioner Kent?
Yes.
Commissioner Leach?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee, Commissioner Matsuba?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Neill? Commissioner Steinberg?
Yes.
And Commissioner Wang?
Yes.
Okay, it passes.
Right. Moving on. And Jennifer, you worked on that with Commissioner Faruqi? Who worked on that?
This was with Ada and then Norma.
Oh, with Ada. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you to the two of you and with the help of Norma as well. Thank you.
Okay. Item number 7 is review, discuss, and approve commissioner send-off plan.
So, Norma, are you going to take that for Commissioner Faruqi? Norma?
Sure.
Did you black out? or who else? I don't even remember who else worked on that one. Was that Jennifer as well?
We held a meeting, but only Commissioner Faruqi made it to the meeting. So if you look at page 9 of your packets, this is a memo that Commissioner Faruqi instructed be added to the commission agenda. So there was a discussion about the idea of implementing a thank you send-off type of process for commissioners who end their term as appointees. And the discussion is that, you know, commission may recognize and thank commissioners' service at their last commission meeting. The commissioner whose service is ending shall receive a thank you card of sorts. If it's, you know, if we're able to get all commissioners to sign that, that's great. Or it be signed by commission chair as a proxy of all the commissioners. They shall receive a certificate or proclamation thanking them. I think that's something that Commissioner said will be up to the resources or connections that we have. And then thank you comments during the last commission meeting. I think one of the things that Commissioner Faruqi was trying to keep in mind was part of the discussion of at the last meeting was about, you know, sometimes we are privy to the information about commissioner's service ending, and sometimes we might not. So that this process will be effective as long as, you know, the commission chair or I am knowledgeable of the commissioner's service ending or that they're stepping down. But not only that, but actually asking the commissioners whose term is ending or if they're stepping down, whether they're comfortable with the send-off as well. So it's not, hey, surprise, but if some people kind of just want to leave quietly, that it is their decision and we're not imposing on anybody. So that's what the Commissioner Faruqi and I discussed, and he felt would be a good proposal. So the recommendation is that the commission approves this as that thank you send-off process, and hopes that, you know, this would be what the commission would adopt and begin as of next year or next month, January 2022.
All right. Any discussion on it?
Seems like a no-brainer to me, A. And B, I'm glad we're going to institute this. And I don't know, Norma, if you then are in charge of making it happen, because sadly, we've had 3 or 4 incidents where people were served this commission very well, and they were not reappointed or whatever the case may be, and didn't show up to the next meeting. And that was, we didn't even know. So being on top of it, I think, is going to be really, really important. And I think, you know, this is a volunteer job, and so to the extent that we can honor people with our words and appreciation, that goes a long, long way.
Very good point.
So, I'm sorry. As a process, I do keep track of commissioners' appointments and when their appointments end. I try as a practice to give commissioners a heads up 2 months in advance when I do see that their appointment is going to expire, to kind of gauge whether they want to come back on board or if they're going to seek reappointment. So I think at that point, part of what I will add is asking them if they are now seeking reappointment, how they feel about the thank you send off, and then communicate that back to our chairperson.
And just in some, or at least one of the cases that I saw with Commissioner Reynolds, with Mike Reynolds, it was just bloop, oh, by the way, they've put someone else in my spot, you know. So it was just such a quick flip. We didn't really have time to say anything or do anything. And he was the chair, you know. We didn't have time to thank him, or we thought we were going to have time to thank him, and then, you know, moving forward. So I thought that was a shame. So
it's, yeah, important. So which is why that language was added to the to this memo, because as we all know, they're volunteer appointments, and specifically to appointments that come directly from a supervisor, that can change. Even though there's a 2-year term, people can be moved in and moved out without our knowledge or within a day. So
yeah.
As long as I'm able to keep track, and if I keep track, then I'll add that to my process of connecting with that commissioner before they leave, ask them if they're comfortable. If they are, then I will always come back to the chairperson so the appropriate steps are taken to make sure that there's a send-off at their last commission meeting.
I would just add, Norma, that in the event it happens like it did with Commissioner Mike Reynolds, that we invite him as a guest at the next meeting to say our thank yous. If the person is comfortable.
I think that's a great idea. I think that's a great idea. We need to vote or whatever. I agree. So
who would advise us in this situation?
What's that?
Who would advise us in this situation? Can we just invite him? Can we move forward?
It's a public meeting, so everybody's invited, so there's no issue with inviting past members to attend.
Okay.
But you do need a motion in a second.
So moved.
Okay. I'll second. All right. Jennifer, did you second?
So I just have a question just for clarification. Does this include Commissioner Steinberg's addition about inviting a former commissioner to the next meeting if you don't know in time? Are we going to add that to this? Yes?
Yeah. I would say yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Can we add it because Renee said that you don't have to because it's a public meeting?
Correct. But, I mean, just to, I guess,
reach out. Officially that we would invite, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, or you could just use the word may. I think that that's what, you know, most of the document has is use the word may because we don't want to be obligated to something that's out of our control for whatever reason.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I will take the roll call now. Commissioner Briceño, Commissioner Buck?
Yes.
Commissioner Dobie?
Absolutely.
Commissioner Faruqi, Commissioner Kent?
Yes.
Commissioner Leach? You're muted.
Yes.
Okay, Commissioner Lee, Commissioner Matsuba?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Neill, Commissioner Steinberg?
Yes.
And Commissioner Wang?
Yes.
Okay. It passes. And then our next item is item 8, review and approve 2022 commission meeting calendar.
Okay, well, pretty straightforward, except when we have our special meetings. Did everyone, look over the dates? We would keep the same second Thursday and at 11. And the dates are lined up. So somebody has to move that we...
So moved.
Mm-hmm.
So moved.
Okay. And someone second, please.
I'll second.
Okay. And I will call the roll call.
May I ask?
Yes.
For June, is there a reason why it's on the 16th, which is the third Thursday?
Good question.
That's why I thought that I was putting this together.
It is.
My dyslexia kicked in.
So.
It should be the 9th.
So it should be the 9th?
Yeah.
Good eye, Jennifer.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Okay. Okay, so.
Someone's birthday, so it just caught my eye.
No, it's good. I'm glad you caught it. And then the 14th. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so I will call roll now. Commissioner Briseño, Commissioner Buck?
Yes.
Commissioner Dobie? Oh, you're muted. Commissioner Dobie? Come back. Commissioner Faruqi? Commissioner Kent?
Yes.
Commissioner Leach?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee? Commissioner Matsuba?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Neill? Commissioner Steinberg?
Yes, then I have a question after.
And Commissioner Wang?
Yes.
And one more, Commissioner Dobie?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
I thought there we go black on 1 or 2 months. Did I make that up, or is that
it? No, that was part of the changes that were proposed and have not yet been voted on.
Got it.
Oh, okay. Interesting how these came up. All right, well.
All right, so item 9 is commission presentation calendar.
And that's Commissioner Leach. If there's anything on that?
Yes, thank you. I spoke with Norma about this several weeks ago, and I felt like that in light of our recent months of how we have discussing and learning more and being more proactive, that we look to including in upcoming meetings speakers, not unlike Mr. Baldo, but those that could speak to some of the things that are going on in our county that we need to probably have a little bit deeper understanding of. Some of this is workplace oriented. For instance, it was my suggestion to Norma that we perhaps reach out to the head of Mission Hospital. I had learned that the story that was told to me was that the staff, the nurses, the doctors were so weary and by now wary of what is going on that in the beginning of COVID, it was as if the patients and the families were so receptive and grateful for whatever help they were receiving. And somewhere along the line, things have changed almost 180 degrees. And now nurses and doctors and technicians and whomever else, Amy could maybe speak to this even better than I, are being attacked verbally. They are being threatened. They are being called liars, that there aren't, you know, there isn't COVID. And this is from both the families and the patients themselves. Wow. And as a result, many of these good people who are already so tired, many of them are considering or have already left their job positions. I understand this was not in Orange County, but there is even the story that was connected with this was that people getting off of shifts didn't even want to go to the grocery store in their scrubs or with their hospital lanyards anymore because just public people would attack them. So it is something like that. I had also asked, and I realize Mr. Neil Kelly is now retiring as of March, but it was my idea that we also include him, perhaps prior now to his retirement, but we have learned of election and poll workers just simply doing their jobs and feeling threatened. I have also been a school board member of an area school board reached out to me recently and said that, and I would like to discuss this a little bit more when commissioner comments come up, but I just want to say at this point that perhaps the superintendents of some of the area school districts be invited at some point, because teachers are being verbally attacked, threatened, sometimes because they have nothing to do with, you know, mandated vaccinations. They have nothing to do with critical theory, race theory, and yet they're being attacked for it, and people are showing up at school board meetings, saying things, kind of conflating topics at times. And so I would like to propose the idea that we all look to the various areas that we represent and come up with some names, some people who would be able to give us a deeper understanding of some of the things that we that is going on in our county. I mean, we have already taken the wonderful step of addressing them in letters such as Jennifer's. But if we don't know, in a sense, how deep the problem goes, we may be hurting others and hurting ourselves by not knowing what we could do. And I think that would be foremost the idea of asking then, what can we do? What may we do? And the may we do, Renee, goes perhaps to you, what may we do? But to be able to say to some of these people, what can we do? Perhaps not as commissioners, but in other capacities, to help make these problems at least, if not go away completely, at least tamp them down, where people in the workplaces and in school board meetings do not feel threatened.
How should we proceed? Are we going to just sign up for a month? Like, what do we suggest? I'm sure you have in mind, right?
Yeah. So I think Norma would be the one that would, as I understood our conversation, Norma, that you would be the one as the executive director that would reach out to these people to set up when they might be available, and, you know, obviously give them a time period and what we're kind of looking for, but to include in that time period an opportunity for us to ask questions as well, because I think that might be, you know, part of where we need to come from, you know, in learning more.
Yes, thanks, Dot. Usually, historically, commissioners would recommend someone they'd like to come speak. I usually ask them to introduce me so I can connect to that with that speaker, learn a little bit more. Of course, I'd like to hear from the commissioners who are recommending the speaker to share a little bit more why this person's being invited. So there is that topic and theme. And then I speak to the person, and usually it's more of getting to know them and then figuring out which of the meetings works best for their schedule. Once that's done, then I can add it to this chart. So then that way we're all aware of who's coming when. For example, so Fareed, Commissioner Faruqi recently went to an event and connected with the Attorney General's office. I just had a couple meetings with their staff this month, and I'm waiting to hear back this week when the Attorney General, if the Attorney General will be able to come and present to the commission meeting in February. So it's not on there because we haven't solidified, but the way it happened, Fareed made the connection through an email, and then I followed up, and that's usually how it works. So if anybody has anybody in mind, let me know, and you know, that way I can kind of go through the process of of getting folks scheduled?
I don't know that this has to necessarily be a motion or anything like that, since it's already in place. Am I correct?
No, the agenda title is not written for you to vote on it today. It's just a discussion.
More informative than it is an action.
Yes.
All right. So whenever someone has someone in mind, and especially along the lines of what Dot was saying, please relate that to Norma so she can plan to connect with that person and see if they're available to speak with us. But yeah, thanks, Dot. It's important because it keeps us abreast of what's actually going on out there. We don't always have an eye on everything. And, you know, with the hospitals, it's just so hard to hear that after giving so much that the nurses and doctors are treated that way. Something that's out of their control. They're doing the best they can. So, all right. Anyone else on that matter? Okay, Jamie, moving to the next.
Okay, item number 10 is update on Board of Supervisors proposal.
So, Norma, you going to take that one? Oh,
I'm sorry.
Farid is the one on this one, but the good news is that it will be presented. The proposal is getting presented to the board on Tuesday, correct, Renee?
That is correct.
And we're getting kind of good vibes from them. We don't want to say too much. We don't want to jinx anything, but...
It is definitely a priority for the county, and it'll be heard on Tuesday, like you said. Before the meeting, though, at 9 o'clock on Tuesday, in HRC, the Human Relations Council is going to be recognized for 50 years of service to the county. So it's a public meeting. You guys are all invited, but I wanted to extend the invitation to make sure everybody knew about it. The only issue is that that presentation is time-sensitive. The board agenda item is not time-sensitive. So we don't know how long each item will take, and so the agenda item to expand the HRC services is scheduled to be heard later in the meeting. So I don't know if you're welcome to stay, but we understand if you can't be there. But we're getting, yes, very good feedback. We did ask for a 12-month contract, and as you're aware, the HRC ad hoc did come up with their top priorities, and each of the priorities has been addressed in the contract or the proposed contract. We can't share the contract just yet. It will be made public record tomorrow at about noon, Jamie. Is that what the...
It depends on when we receive it, from your office. It's due today by 4, so...
Yeah, I think it's noon tomorrow that it's released on the Clerk of the Board's website.
Hopefully before then.
So everybody would have access, just like the general public. You can go and view the proposal, you can see the staffing plan, you can see the budget, and all of those details.
That's so good to hear. We're just going to
keep
our fingers crossed on that one.
Thank you so much to the entire commission, but in particular the ad hoc, who spent countless hours helping to develop and redevelop RFI materials and top priorities and ensure that we got the best program for the county. We put together the best program for the county moving forward. So thank you so much for all of your time, and we look forward to Tuesday.
Now, is the Board of Supervisors meeting in person now? Or I know they had a couple in person. So
they are in person. There are two rooms where we used to meet. Well, I guess we still meet, but through COVID, we haven't been meeting in that hearing room. And so the public is in the hearing room, and the Board of Supervisors are in
there. They're only when they come to speak. Otherwise, they're waiting outside.
Oh, just one person comes in.
Yes.
To speak. Okay. Oh, okay. So, and then if we want to attend otherwise, will we be on Zoom, or we would be on the phone, just hearing it?
You can listen to it on the phone, or you can watch it live on the internet.
Oh, okay. Oh, you can watch it. I watch one.
Yeah. Jamie, just to clarify, did you say the public speakers were let in the room? Because on Tuesday they were not.
No, they're only let in the room when it's their time to speak, and then they are walked out the door
in the
again.
Hearing room, but
in
not
the commission room. Correct. Yeah, the boardroom is only county staff.
Oh, okay.
Only.
That's not the way I...
And that's it.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it would be as many of us that can, you know, listen in, watch it. If you would like to make a statement, you know, it's very important that we get some support for this one. It's been a long time coming, so we just want to make sure that it goes through.
And, then, and if you're able to attend the 9 o'clock presentation meeting, if you could email Jenna in advance so that we can ensure that we let you in the building. Right now, the building isn't accessible to the public.
Okay.
In that early time frame. So if you want to meet Jenna, she can make sure that you come in and then you get access to the boardroom when they make the presentation.
Okay.
Honey, can you elaborate about the presentation, what that entails?
So it's actually a 50-year anniversary. It's a resolution to the commission. So the commission has been in effect for 50 years, and so they'll be recognizing the efforts. And it'll be a board. Go ahead, Storma.
I just wanted to add that Supervisor Bartlett's office put this forward, and they just emailed me asking who's going to be there to receive the resolution, if any commissioners are interested in being, you know, for the follow-up and receiving it from the supervisor. So I kind of want to put that out there now to see if we have any interest. And I know that initially I had announced this, that it was going to happen this week, and Rabbi showed up and was like, what happened? Where's my resolution?
Where is everybody? Whoops. Okay, so we should notify Jenna or who, I mean, I guess people...
Well, I didn't know if someone was being asked directly, so there's no need to notify Jenna. You could just go straight to Norma, and
okay.
Norma can ensure that, that a mechanism is in place for you to be let in the building. Like
okay.
Instead of
yeah.
Just, and we had a presentation this week on Tuesday, and the county employees were allowed to come in, but the officials that were outside of the county, like our development board meeting, or our development board members... we're not given access, and so we had to go outside and walk them in.
Yeah.
We had to escort them, basically.
Please
so just
also
to attend that you have a way to come into the building because of these COVID protocols.
Yeah.
Make it a little bit more difficult than a normal meeting that you're accustomed to, where you just walk through the door and walk in the board meeting.
Yeah, and Norma, if you can let clerk of the board staff know, let me know who's going to be there, because my staff is the one that's outside screening people, and if we don't know, we're not going to let them in. So just let us know, and that way we'll have a list of who's going to be allowed in for the presentation, and then we can allow them to come in.
A couple thoughts. One is, thank you, Jamie, for checking when I showed up on Tuesday morning that it wasn't happening. No, don't feel bad, Norma. It's okay. I'm just kidding. I don't know the appropriateness of this or not, but for those of you who don't know, there is still a great leader in our community named Rusty Kennedy. Rusty was the founder of the commission and of the council, and were it not for him and his really dedication, we would not be here today, for sure. If it's not appropriate that he comes to the Board of Supervisors, although I would make an argument for that, I would certainly hope that in January we invite him to our meeting and do a special presentation for him. He retired, 5-6 years ago, so maybe a little less, I don't remember. But Allie, who is, you know, the CEO of the council, was his protege for many, many years, and so his influence is still felt. And Rusty is a special part of our community for those who know him. And I would really want us to honor him as well and his legacy, because we're all part of that.
Maybe Norma could make that request when she talks to District 5. It sounds like she's working with them directly. So she could mention that to them and see if there are any issues with that or how that would work. Like I said before, they are trying to limit the number of people coming into the board meeting. So my only suggestion.
I think it's a great suggestion, Rabbi Rick, and I think it's so important that we acknowledge you know, the one who started it all. So either way, or both ways, maybe something through the supervisors and then something through us personally, but he needs to be recognized.
And Norma, I'm happy to volunteer to do whatever to facilitate that if you need my help, but you don't. But if you do, I'm happy to help.
Okay, so just so I'm clear, the conversation for Rusty is to recognize him separately from what's happening on Tuesday, right?
Yes.
Okay. Or just to have him be part of the group on Tuesday. Unfortunately, I'll be in New York. I won't be with you. But to have him just present, I think, is important. And subsequently at the commission meeting, to really give a special presentation just for him.
Absolutely.
January, yes.
All right. All right, so we'll be in touch with you, Norma, about attending, and then you'll let Jamie know. All right, and next item?
Item number 11 is Commission Staff Reports, Update Healing from Hate Film Screening, and the 2022 Commission Speaker Presentation List.
So, the Commission Presentation List we already spoke about, so we won't review that because Commissioner Lee Charlie did, but I'm going to hand it over to me so she's able to give an update on the Healing from Hate film screen.
Thanks, Norma. So just a quick update. We've been meeting our ad hoc committee. We're in discussion of having the film screening in February, either early February or mid-February. We're still deciding on the location, but it may be at a university locally. And then the other thing that we're keeping in mind is who our panelists will be. So we may have a panelist section. We're in conversation with potentially a professor at Chapman University, but that's to be determined. And then the other thing that we're thinking about as well is originally we were going to do hybrid, but we're in conversation with Commissioner Buck about some of the changes with safety protocols as well. So we want to ensure that when we do conduct the event that everyone is safe. So we're going to ensure that depending on where we're at with everything, we'll just follow safety protocols from there. So we'll keep everyone updated on some of the changes with the film screening, but we're really excited on what will happen or take place in February. We're also partnering with other community organizations as well, so we'll keep you all updated on that. And I'll pass it back to Norma.
That is all the updates.
Okay. The other update that I have is I spoke with Mayor Khan regarding the recent incident, and so Mayor Khan has presented an idea about having a roundtable discussion with other local elected officials. As you already know, we respond to hate incidents, and a lot of elected officials do respond to support community members, but often when it happens to them, there's concerns about ways to go about it so that they feel safe as well. So that's a conversation that we're having. But I'm open to hearing thoughts as well about a roundtable discussion with other elected officials. And I believe that's all for my update.
All right. Thank you, Nee. I'm excited about that film coming out. That'd be great. Anyone else have any report? Oh, I'm sorry. That was not that part. Okay. I'm moving to the next item, Jamie.
Okay. Item number 12 is update from OC Chiefs and Sheriff.
Thank you, Jamie. Just to add a little bit to what I was talking about earlier, from a Orange County Chiefs and Sheriff Association standpoint, we've obviously been in discussion in regards to what's been happening around the county. But but also in the Southern California area. Although it hasn't really impacted other Orange County cities like it has here in Irvine, everybody's definitely cognizant of what's happening and making sure that their officers are receiving appropriate training and education to make sure to recognize some of these, you know, hateful acts that are occurring. You know, although protected by the First Amendment, we still want to be able to recognize them, document them, and be able to share notes with one another to, you know, identify patterns, identify personnel that are responsible for this, and make sure that, again, all our communities, not just here in Irvine, but all our communities are safe from some of these horrific acts that are happening around the country and around the world. So that is all the update I have. Thank you.
Next item, please.
Item 13 is OCSD Interfaith Council update.
Yeah, we had a program planned at the Sheriff's Academy for our interfaith group, and we wanted it to be kind of a big thing, and it was also the inaugural award for community service in the name of Sheriff Hutchins. The timing didn't work out, and we just postponed it because we had about 30 or 40 people responded, which is wonderful, but we're looking for 200 or 300 people for this kind of a program. We were bringing in some major speakers and whatnot. So it's been postponed till March. And I'm sure we'll be up and running and awarding Kay and Rick Warren the award for their work out in the world, which is so remarkable. And that's our report.
Okay, great. I'm glad that you were able to postpone it so, you know, you can have really a stronger turnout, and looking forward to that. I'd like to go. All right, and then next item, please.
Is announcements from commissioners.
And Commissioner Leach?
Yes, thank you. I'm going to do this very quickly because I just realized my computer's about to run out of juice, so I'm going to speak very quickly. Area school board member reached out to me, something I was kind of referencing earlier, but I wanted to read to you the note and what prompted this. This is what the board member wrote. On November 15th, 2021, parents protesting the proposed K-12 vaccine mandate left hundreds of empty shoes at school and school district offices in California. She includes a link that has a picture. Although empty shoe displays are traditionally used in Holocaust memorials, the parents who organized these displays were probably unaware that they had appropriated a tragic motif from another cultural group. This hurtful instance of cultural appropriation provides a teachable moment for our community. It demonstrates how important it is that our children receive ethnic studies instruction in high school so that they will go on to make similar insensitive mistakes when or as their parents had done. There is a upcoming meeting at the Capo School District, and this board member was asking that if there is anyone interested in calling in, just not to stir up things, but to say we support the ethnic studies program, and I know our commission has already addressed this in a very positive way. But just to say, this is a teachable moment, not only for our children, but for the parents of our children. And so if any of you are interested in calling in on this or know of others who are, please contact me and I can give you the link. Apparently you have to register to be able to call in, and that registration starts as of today.
Okay.
And the second thing I wanted to say was on December 21st, beginning at sunset on YouTube, we will be holding another longest night candlelight vigil for our homeless brothers and sisters who passed away this year in Orange County. I have had the privilege and honor to produce this video this year and to co-host it. It is my sad report to tell you that almost 400 have died this year. In fact, we're somewhat expecting it to exceed 400. Last year, we reported 329, so you can see the difference in the numbers this year. But if any of you are interested in that, if you will contact me, I will get you not only the link to it, but if you belong to different organizations, congregations, neighborhood groups, whatever, that might be interested in this, we do have a media kit prepared as well as a brief trailer to this year's film. So, thank you.
Right. Yes. Amy.
Thank you. So, Commissioner Leach, could you please share that information with Norma, and then Norma for both items, and then Norma, could you please share that with the rest of the commissioners? I think that might be a great way to disseminate the information.
Absolutely. Thank you for that suggestion, Amy. Absolutely.
Yes, two very important events, and two things to get involved in, the writing about the shoes and then the night, the candlelight vigil. Thank you. Also, Commissioner Faruqi had an event coming up. Norma, do you have that? No? You said Norma was going to present it. Do you have that? No? Okay. You must be on mute anyway. Pardon me? Oh, you do? Okay.
I have a flyer.
Okay. I think the group is called Universal Heritage. There are two groups, Universal Heritage and Little Bangladesh. You have it coming up? Oh, there we go. So, yes, it's a group that Farid is involved with. And they're going to be having a luncheon at Cal State Fullerton on December 18th. And this young man, this genius, he's, 9 or 10 years old, and he has his PhD. Isaac Berry, I think. Anyway, he's a college professor, and he has all, anyway, so he's coming to Cal State Fullerton, and we'll do a presentation. It's a luncheon. It's $60 per person, or if people are interested in getting a table, putting a table together, it's, $600 per table. So, Norma, if you would please send this out to everyone to see if anyone is interested in attending. You know, you can just register on your own, and it's open to everyone. So, but he would love to see some faces of commissioners there. I thought the young man, or I don't know, the professor, the doctor is online. There's a YouTube presentation of him speaking, which you can, look up and see him. It looks quite remarkable that he said, he opens with, "I know many of you have been working on your PhD longer than I've been alive, but here I am," or something. Oh, there it is. I'm looking right at the name and not seeing it. Professor Saborno Isaac Berry. So, anyway, you can find him on YouTube, and if you would like to attend, please sign up. Anyone else?
Yeah, I actually have an announcement. I was pulling it up. I'm going to share my screen so you guys can see it.
Mm-hmm.
So I received an invitation from the healthcare agency, and it's in regards to the CDC grant, actually, that they have, and you guys might have heard about the health equity, the OC equity map in the past year or so. And so right now they are
trying to get community partners, community leaders to the orientation and office hours. And you can see right here, I can forward to Norma. So you guys will have a copy if you don't have it already. And I encourage you to go because I think that this is actually very much related to what we're doing. This is going to be addressing racial disparities as well. And I think that a lot of our insight will really help, and it should be helping to guide them, but also working with them collaboratively. So I won't read the letter, but I think that you guys actually should probably have a copy and then just think about it, perhaps for yourselves and maybe other people in the communities that we serve. You can invite them as well. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
I really imagine there's going to be responses, public responses and reactions to this. Because this is, I believe, a 2-year contract that they have. And right here, let's ensure equity in Orange County. I mean, that's a very loaded statement. Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer. Okay, anyone else? Well, with that, we look forward to seeing you again next week. Same time, same station. Norma will send out a reminder, and we'll handle that and reschedule our meeting. And I want to say the meeting is officially adjourned. Mm-hmm.